This is Shi'ar Jashub, a Bible study program coming from the Church of Shi'ar Jashub Christian Tabernacle in Madison, Connecticut, and featuring the teaching ministry of Pastor Greg Scalzo. Hi, I'm Patty Scalzo, and today we will be continuing a sermon in my husband's series on the Book of Romans. In this sermon, Pastor is in chapter 1, and for a better understanding of what the Apostle Paul is writing about to this church at Rome, Pastor went back to the Gospel of John, chapter 3, where John the Baptist says that he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and that the one who receives his, that is, Jesus's testimony, has certified, has set his seal, that God is true. And then Pastor looked at Acts chapter 11, where the Jewish believers in Jerusalem, upon hearing Peter's account of the happenings at Cornelius's house, recognize that God has granted also to the Gentiles repentance to life. When we left off, Pastor Greg had discussed Romans chapter 1, verse 14, where Paul writes, I am a debtor both to Greeks, Hellene, and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. Let's rejoin Pastor Greg, and we'll go back a minute for context.
And then he says, so as much as is in me, I am ready, I am eager, I am willing to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. So to all, the gospel to the Jews, the gospel to the Gentiles, cultured Gentiles, uncultured Gentiles, wise barbarians all, he's in debt. He has an obligation to preach the gospel. And then he says in verse 16, we'll pick up in the book of Romans, he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I know I have this obligation, and I'm ready, I'm willing, I'm eager to preach even to you who are in Rome. And he knows all the dangers of going to Rome. But I'm not ashamed, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. Too often, Christians act ashamed, embarrassed to speak about the Lord, to speak about the good news. And too often in church history, churches come to feel that they need something more. They need something different. They need something, yes, they keep the gospel, they speak about Jesus, we'll put them up in front of the church, we'll say the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we'll use his name, but we need something a little more sophisticated. Something maybe more appealing to the wise, to the Hellenes, to the cultured, to be accepted. You know, there are ministers today in some very ornate churches being paid huge salaries, and these churches have long histories of being called Christian churches, and they're very educated and they're very accepted by the secular community that would choke on the words, the simple words of the gospel, if they had to deliver them, if they had to preach the pure and true gospel of Jesus Christ. They'll mention it, and then they surround it with all other ideas, because basically, deep down, they're ashamed of the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. They're ashamed of the Bible. They got to read from the Bible. Everyone expects them to give a reading, the reading from the Gospel of Matthew, and they got to give you two lines It's expected because it's a Christian church. But basically, they're ashamed of it, and they have to explain it away. They got to start in Genesis, and they have a lot of trouble in Genesis. And then if they're finished, they got to go to Revelation, and they got a lot of trouble with Revelation. And they have to tie it into all the science that they're sure that we know. And so they're constantly explaining it away and making it allegorical and metaphorical and symbolic. And it's a good book, but they're basically very ashamed of the Bible, and they're certainly ashamed of Bible-believing people. To think that they're called Christian and we're called Christian has got to be a big embarrassment to them. And so they replace it with destructive heresies. Here, the Apostle Paul, and they may name their church the such and such of St. Paul the Apostle. The Apostle Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He's not ashamed before the educated Jews and the Sanhedrin and the council. We saw that when we studied the book of Acts. He's not ashamed before the educated Greeks. He stands up and argues with them in Athens, all their philosophers. He's not ashamed before the powerful Romans. He's not ashamed before the wise. He's not ashamed before the unwise. You know, it's not just the educated. It's not just the educated that ridicule the scriptures, right? The common, you know, you go into the bar rooms and they're making fun of God. The gangs, the barbaros, you know, you think about the rock drug culture of the unwise. You think about a lot of the situations the young kids find themselves in today when they deal with their peers and what goes on in the streets. The Hellenes to the barbaros. It can be very easy to be ashamed of Christ on the streets. So that embarrassment too often overcomes believers. And even just in the food store, people can get embarrassed online speaking to their neighbors to speak about Jesus Christ. Not even the extremes, right there in the middle, talking to your neighbors. What are they going to think of me? They're going to think I'm crazy. They're going to believe this person really believes that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. They really believe Jesus Christ is coming back, that there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. They really believe all that stuff is going to happen in the book of Revelation. They really believe Jesus was born of a virgin. What are they going to think of me? And that hesitancy many times will stop us from saying what we need to say in a moment, and the opportunity passes. Why? Because for an instant, we were ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul says, for I am not ashamed of, we're never to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul tells us why. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. It is the power of God to salvation. Consider what you handle. Consider what you've put your seal to, what you have faith in. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone. It's the only way. The only way for the Jews. The only way for the Greeks to be saved. It's the power of God to save everyone. Everyone needs salvation. Every person you see, you talk to, needs salvation. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who what? Who believes. Pistuo. The same word we just studied in the Gospel of John. Pistuo. To everyone who believes. So how are we saved? We're saved by faith, by the type of belief, not a shallow belief, not a. Well, I ran up at a crusade one time and I said, yeah, okay, Jesus, that's not taking your seal and marking to the every angel, every demon, to the heavens, to the earth, I believe in Jesus Christ. I rely totally upon him. That type of faith, that type of belief, everyone who believes, this is the power of God for salvation. Jew, Gentile, there's no difference. All need salvation. This is the power of God available to all. This is the power, dunamis in the Greek, dynamite. This is the dynamite of God. This gospel of Jesus Christ is the dynamite of God. It's the only way to save sinful humans, be they Jews, be they Greeks, be they educated, be they barbarians. It is the only hope. It is the power of God to salvation. Soteria. It's another important word we're going to see in the book of Romans, salvation. Soteria, deliverance, salvation, safety, rescue. It's the only way we're rescued. It's the only way God pulls us out of the trap of the sinful human world and the punishment that we deserve and the wrath that should be upon us and takes us out, everyone, Jew, Gentile, wise, unwise, pulls us up, cleans us off, and gives us, offers us, sends down to us through the Holy Spirit, and gives us an inheritance forever and ever of eternal, everlasting life. He rescues us. He delivers us. He gives us salvation. Soteria. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Believes for the Jew first and also for the Greek. All need this power. All need this deliverance. And notice the gospel goes first to the Jew, right? To the Jew first. And we've seen that in the book of Acts, the first privilege. Jesus said in Luke chapter 24 and verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, ethnos, beginning at Jerusalem. But you start, it's going to go to all nations, but you start with the Jews. For the sake of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For what was done when all the Gentile nations were so far away that the word of God was preserved. That they are the natural olive branch. They are the ones that God had made the promises to that we all now benefit from, first in Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. First to the Jew, and then to the Gentiles.
On our church website at shiarjashub.org, you will find a library of Bible study radio programs, information about our church, helps, and links to the audio podcasts on Apple and Amazon Music. We live stream the sermon portion of our Sunday morning service at 10:30 on both YouTube and X.com. The videos then remain up on YouTube and X, as well as posted on Rumble.com and the church website for 24/7 access. You can find all this information on shiarjashub.org, and you can check Isaiah 7, verse 3 for the spelling of Shiar Jashub.